Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by WinBet. I'm Jeff Erickson here, and it is a busy by NATO week here on the NFL on Wednesday, the 20th. I'm here with Samantha Praviti. You can catch her on the Action Network. She does two podcasts. She does the Fantasy Flex podcast twice a week, and you're also on KOA Colorado on iHeartRadio every Thursday as well.
Yeah, so exciting. I get to do a little spot talking about DFS and all things Broncos with my friends Benjamin Albright and Ryan Edwards.
Nice. That's awesome. And you're doing a lot. You're doing fantasy football. You're doing DFS. You're doing a lot of gaming talk. you've been very busy lately.
Yeah, I'm mainly focused on fantasy for sure. This has been my first season. I joined Action in March, and this has been my first season kind of devoting this full time. I was doing this on the side while I was still employed at the Post before. So it's been very cool to kind of dip my toes in a lot of things, but also really focus on one thing.
That's nice. That's awesome to hear. Well, this is a crazy week. Week 7 is the worst bye week of the season. You called it by NATO. I've seen Bipocalypse. I've seen Bimageddon. I just saw Andy Behrens calling it by Ragnarok. There's a lot of different things we can call here. It's a really tough week. Some of us, we try to plan in advance, but with all the injuries and buys and all that, it's such a difficult week.
Yeah, it is a for sure Cat 5 by NATO. I have some rosters looking super, super lean, like ones that are in 12-team leagues that look like they're in 24-team leagues. Right. They're definitely really, really gross. I have decisions like, should I start Dimitri Felton or Michael Carter in certain leagues? And then I have another league, which is not even a bye thing. Like, some people have just teams that have been hit with injuries really bad. I lost Ross in a 16-team league with these really deep benches, so there's no one on waivers at all. I picked up Case Keenum today. So
I've got a bid on him in a super flex league, and my other two QBs are on bye. I also foolishly went Drew Lock instead of Teddy Bridgewater, and so I didn't have anybody for this particular week. So I have, Lawrence on bye. I have another QB on bye. It's brutal. It's gruesome. So yeah, I'm looking at, okay, well, if I don't get Case Keenum, then what do I do? Do I try to get the backup? Do I go get, one of the backups on a shakier team? Do I try to go with Taysom Hill? I mean, it's bad. It's really bad.
I know. I have the decision now between Case Keenum and Justin Fields, who is my backup. Now, like, in theory, this should be the Justin Fields game with Tampa's leaky secondary, but I don't know. I kind of feel like he's a little bit in my burn book because I'm just been a little bit burned by him over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good someday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he may need another coach to do that.
I was just going to say it. Matt Nagy needs to be fired into a cannon into the sun or just fired. But all those things would be good for Justin Fields.
So I'm a token Bengals fan out on the West Coast, and there's like three of us. But Bill Lazor used to be the Bengals offensive coordinator. And for everybody calling for Matt Nagy to stop calling plays, Bill Lazor is not a panacea. He's not going to make it anything better, I don't think.
I was just going to say, like, Bill Lazor's play calling hasn't been impressive either. So I feel like like for him to reach his full potential, they need to be letting him do what he does best. And I feel like they've been really limiting him. And it's been a shame because I was the person, like they used me in all the pre-draft stuff because I was so team Justin Fields. So I was on like podcasts all the time talking about how he was my number three overall pick over Trey Lance and Mac Jones at the time.
Right.
And now it's making me look a little foolish, but I think in general, the sentiment across the community is that it's not his fault.
Yeah. I mean, he could be better without a doubt. His pocket awareness could be better, for instance, yes. But you know, also,
but we knew those things coming out of college for sure. Yeah. I think those are things that will come. The other stuff that he's really, really great at, I don't think we've even tapped into.
Right. And I'm lighting a candle for Allen Robinson. It just breaks my heart. He's never had a good quarterback play. I mean, never. Dating back to Penn State, maybe in college, maybe in high school he did. But it's tough. He's so good. He's just not getting it.
He's definitely one of those guys. He's like up there with maybe like Terry McLaurin, who just like, I always think they're one quarter, like good quarterback away from being the Stephon Diggs season, like having that Stephon Diggs season really breaking out. And, you know, obviously Fields has not lived up to necessarily expectations. So we haven't seen much out of Allen Robinson. And he's like a guy that I feel like some people have dropped. He might be droppable if you really need someone at this point, but
well, and that's just the thing. This week is the tough week for decisions. I wouldn't advocate dropping Robinson, but I mean, there are tough calls. I dropped Elijah Moore in a league and I'm like all on the Elijah Moore bandwagon. And like, I bought that hype and I've got a bill of goods so far, but you know, you have to make that decision. It's a token 10 team league that I'm in. Someone's got to get cut to fill in for the vacancies.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, like you just kind of hope that once the week is over, you can make a drop that person might be still available on waivers. There's a good chance.
Right. So the thing I'd like to, you know, talk about, too, is the thing that just blew up in the last hour here is the rumors that Deshaun Watson is the trade is happening. It's happening finally. Feel like there's a GIF out there for that, like an Arrested Development GIF about it's happening. But
oh, my God.
Exactly. But it looks like it could be a three-way trade. You're suggesting that you've seen some things that suggest that Denver and not Washington could be the third team. I'm just surprised it's happening at all right now, just because of everything that's hanging over Watson. They're not going to be able to use him right away. And Tua looked really pretty good last week in London, I thought. So I'm a little surprised Miami's doing this.
Yeah, I am pretty surprised as well. What you were referencing before was Benjamin Albright, who covers the Broncos beat for KOA. He was just saying that Denver was rumored for Tua. He wasn't necessarily reporting it as a rumor, just saying that the rumors that have been going around. But he also added that he thinks Washington would make more sense over Denver. So I think it would make more sense, too. I mean, I think what we've seen, I don't know that Tua is an upgrade from Teddy B. So
right.
I think that they should just like hold still, like hold at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. I think in Miami, it's a reaction to what their poor start, 1-5. They went to London. They chose not to have a bye after the London game, which is weird, but
it is weird.
You know, it's pretty desperate times, especially when you consider that the trades they made to get Tua, to get Waddle, they're not going to have their first round pick next year. They're kind of in a tough spot.
No, they're definitely in a tough spot. And like you said, they're not going to be able to use him. He is technically eligible to play right now, but he's going to go on the commissioner's exempt list once the trade goes through. So I don't think that there's a good chance we'll see him anytime soon, just with all the legal things kind of pending. And that could take a lot longer than we think. It's not something that's going to get resolved maybe even this season.
I agree. I'm a recovering attorney, and just knowing how things work that way, it's not like, oh, well, they need him. We got to get this figured out. That's not how it works.
Yeah. It's like 22 open cases right now against him. So, yeah, it certainly feels like that needs to sort itself out. And then the NFL has to take that and then decide what they want to do with him. So there's a lot of kind of dominoes that I think need to fall into place well before we see him again.
For sure. You know, we were talking about desperation pickups in a super flex league. Jacoby Brissett might be it if this trade does happen.
I just dropped Brissett.
Oh, no.
Just because, I mean, it was earlier today because I
right.
wanted to pick up Case Keenum. These are like the gross, disgusting moves that you never think about when you think about fantasy football over the summer. And you're like thinking about like, oh yeah, my studs are going to look awesome. I can't wait to draft Zeke. I can't wait to grab CMC. And now I'm in a position where I'm like, should I take Geno Smith or
right? I have this multi-layered plan. I've covered all my contingencies. And then they said, okay, hold your draft pick here. We're going to just see. Let's just mix this up just a little bit. And the thing is, it raises the question in Superflex leagues. We always say, got to use a quarterback in your Superflex spot. I mean, this is the ultimate test of it. I mean, do we use Case Keenum? Do we use Jacoby Brissett? Do we use Taysom Hill just so we can have a quarterback in that spot? Or are we better off just starting, you know, wide receiver 4 in that spot instead?
Like, that's right around where the cutoff should be. I think I would probably start Brissett or Keenum over some guy you just pick up off waivers. That's like a deeper flex play. That said, like, I don't know. Davis Mills could give you like negative points. So
right.
I don't know. Like, he's probably the cutoff. Like, I would probably, and I probably wouldn't use Taysom Hill either, just because I don't know that that's any kind of level of guaranteed play. So at that point, I might consider a flex play, because you might get a guy who's unexciting, but he gives you 10 points. Like, that's better than 2. You could get 2 from some of these guys. You
exactly.
could get negative. Like, some of my leagues, they have like weird scoring. One of my leagues, they love to just make things way more complicated than they need to be. Like, rushing yards are like 0.4, like 0.4 points, or like everything is like a very weird thing. There's also like efficiency metrics. But as a result, you can definitely get negative points from a lot of your players. And yeah, so Davis Mills, probably not the guy that I'm starting.
Yeah, Scott Fishbowl, for instance. I mean, that is a good example there. We had negative points for incompletions, major negative points for interceptions and pick sixes. Yeah, I can see just avoiding that.
Has given me like 2 points as my third quarterback a couple times, so I'm glad I didn't start him.
Oh, I think my brother is now their third wideout. I mean, they're just so thin right now. It's just it's tough.
Oh no, it's super tough. Amon-Ra St. Brown was a guy that I kept pumping up as like a potential sleeper, but I don't even know. Like, I don't want anything to do with this offense with people not named like T.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift.
Right. St. Brown was interesting, made one catch and then got stripped on that one play. That was a big sequence in the game. Again, Bengals fan, I was paying more attention than most people, but they threw the one interception. They had the return cut called back halfway because of a taunt right as the interception was going on. That was your first sign that was not going to end well. But then the interception play where it's just pulled out of St. Brown's hands, that was a big play in that game. So it was still 10-0 at the time. Still could have been something, but anyways, sidebar aside, we'll move on. Before we do that, though, first, before we look at a couple of the breaking news items, a quick note from our friends at WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states: Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. I'm here with Samantha Praviti. She is with the Action Network. You can also catch her on iHeartRadio on the KOA Colorado every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So you're in Colorado, so you actually get to do some online gaming.
Yes, I moved from Manhattan last year, and that has been super fun. I mean, Colorado's awesome. Manhattan's super cool, too. But, like, if you think about it, great beer, like craft beer, if you're into that, and legal other things, and legal betting. So, and Denver's a great city for sports. Like, Avs, Nuggets, like, I literally live across the street from the Rockies Stadium. So, that is super, super cool, and just, like, an electric atmosphere. So, yeah, it's a fun state to be in, of course, with all the legal betting, too.
My family did a road trip. We went through Colorado actually last year, and that's a great area. It is really nice. Unfortunately, there was no games. It was before everything had fired back up. It was right before the summer surge in COVID cases. But so there are no sports going on, but it was still felt like safe to travel. And Denver is a blast. And, you know, it's such a sunny city. People don't realize there's so many days of sun there. It's a great place.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I used to think of Denver as this like snowy snow globe thing. Like, I don't know. And it's not just me. A lot of people have said that.
Right.
They just like thought it snowed year round there. It's actually very warm in Denver. It's like kind of like desert-ish, like high up desert, and it's dry and it's warm and it's sunny a lot. So it's definitely a good city if you, you know, enjoy sports, enjoy betting, all those things. I got to go to the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game this year.
That's awesome.
Which was so much fun. I've never been to anything like that. The Home Run Derby was so much fun. I almost got killed by two Pete Alonso home runs.
Oh no. That's wild.
What was really scary was like I was in like the total splash zone for this. And that sounds cool. Like to most people, they're like, oh, that's awesome. I could catch a ball. And it's like, as me, a person with very limited hand-eye coordination and no glove, I was petrified of the whole thing. And people are also like clamoring, like they will like kill you. And,
right.
Like for this ball. And I'm like, literally like, I want no part of this. Leave me out of it. So,
stop pouring your beer on me to get the ball. I just want the ball.
Literally some guy, the guy that was sitting directly in front of me broke his thumb because a home run landed on his hand. So, and they were just coming one after the other, after the other. You didn't get like a breather to reset. So I was literally like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
And it's not a gentle pop-up either. These are rockets coming out there. I mean, that's true. I mean, if you ever try to catch a ball with your bare hands, it's not easy.
Oh no, I would absolutely have my whole hand broken. It would be quite the bleep show. So yeah. it was very, very fun.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I've never been to a home run derby. I would love to do that someday. Let's talk a little bit about this Broncos Browns game tomorrow night. It's going to set all sorts of ratings highs, I'm sure. Is Teddy B going to play? I saw it coming out today. It's like, this is questionable. It's not, and it's like a legit questionable.
Yeah, I think it's a legit questionable. I really don't know what to make of this game at this point. If both quarterbacks are out, both star running backs on the Browns are out, like it's going to be a terrible game. Thursday Night Football came in like a lion, like with like a really good opener. And then like Seahawks Rams was supposed to be good. It didn't end up being that great, but like now we're back to like real Thursday Night Football. The Thursday Night Football that we all love and are used to. So, with Teddy B, I don't know. I think he is a true questionable. I have no insider information on that one.
Yeah. And so maybe Drew Lock is our pickup for that. But I can't even finish that almost, though. It's so bad. But yeah.
I would probably start Lock. I don't know. Do you start Lock over Keenum? Like, I guess.
Well, at least Lock has Sutton to throw to.
Yeah.
And Fant probably, although he's got the foot issue of his own, but. I think so. I'm trying to look. I got to pull up my ratings. I can tell.
I think this is going to be a big game for the Denver running backs. I hope this is like the breakout Javonte game.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. You know, they've been pretty steadfast about the 50-50 thing there with Gordon. And it's not like Gordon's killing him. He was averaging 5 yards a carry last week, too. We keep wanting the new to come in and displace the older. But Gordon's like, hey, I'm not dead yet. The corpse still has the floor. I mean, you know, he still can play. That's the frustrating part is it kind of works for them.
It's frustrating as fantasy managers, but it totally makes sense from like a load management standpoint and just in general, like easing the rookie into the game. And they also paid Melvin Gordon and they're going to use him for his final year. And the next year is going to be the Javonte year. So while it's quite a headache for fantasy managers, as many backfields are, I would say it's the difference between what makes sense for us as fantasy managers and what makes sense for actual football.
Right. Exactly. And so that they don't, once again, they don't care about us. I wish they would.
But, I know. It's so rude. Bruce Arians, Kyle Shanahan, all on my poop list right now.
Like, lying liars that lie. That's what
absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, Judy's probably not coming back, soon. I like that he's making progress. They designated him for return, but take your time. Take one more week off. I have Judy in a lot of places, dynasty leagues. Take your time. Let's make sure he's fully healed.
Absolutely. They said it was like under 50% chance for him to play this week, and it's just not looking like it. And I don't see any reason to pull out all the stops and like risk him getting injured with this decimated Browns team. So I hope they can beat this Browns team without him.
Yeah. And the Browns, I mean, they are so decimated. Let's talk about it. No Baker Mayfield. We know Keenum. No Chubb. No Hunt. Their tackles probably aren't playing. OBJ is highly questionable. I heard Josina Anderson saying it was a grade 3 AC joint shoulder sprain, which is – that's pretty severe. It doesn't sound nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and I don't know that Jarvis Landry is going to play this week either. So right. They don't necessarily have a lot of good options. Like Donovan Peoples-Jones was a guy that – obviously had an awesome week 6, and I think a lot of people who chase touchdowns would rush out to go get him, but like, do you really trust any Case Keenum wielded receiver at this point? So yeah, there's not a lot of exciting options. I mean, the options out of the backfield, those are your waiver wire guys. De'Ernest Johnson, who like broke our hearts last year after everyone spent like 50% of their fab on him and he was a dud. So I don't know, I don't have high expectations for anyone on the Brown side.
If you so dare to play the showdown slate tomorrow night, who's your captain?
Oof, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
I can't tell you without looking at prices, but maybe one of the Broncos running backs.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess price matters a lot as far as this discussion. But I mean, I like Sutton, but not if Locke's at quarterback. It's a tough call.
So many questions. I'm doing a podcast in an hour, and I have to make some like prop picks for this special segment that we do for the Thursday night game, and I'm like, how is anyone supposed to make any kind of like predictions here if we don't know who's playing? And I think it's just going to be a lot of running and kind of ugliness.
Yeah, I think you're right about that here. do have a Cleveland related question from Julia J. She goes, would you guys drop OBJ for T.Y. Hilton? Trading one problem for another, it sounds like to me.
Oof. I mean, if you need someone this week, it makes sense. I think T.Y. Hilton is probably a decent start this week. But I don't love him rest of season just because I think it's a matter of like, it's just a low volume, kind of passing offense. Like there might be one guy that gets a passing touchdown every week and that could be Pittman and that could be T.Y. Hilton. So it's dicey, but like I said, if you need someone this week, there's a good chance that OBJ doesn't play. And even if he does, I'm not excited. So this week I would start Hilton over OBJ.
Yeah. I play in some leagues with 10 man benches. I play in some with 5-man benches. 5-man benches, you have to make that tough call. OBJ might, I mean, it's gross to cut him, especially considering what you spend draft capital on him, but yeah, you might not have a better option, or you just power through it, I guess, especially if he's out. You know, I know Paris Campbell is out for the season with that foot injury that he suffered on that touchdown play, but it wasn't like, it's not like the Colts are going to throw to their backs more. They're going to run a lot. They're not going to be a high volume team like you alluded to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And sorry, I'm kind of blanking. They played the Texans this week.
They played the Niners this week. They just played the Texans. It's okay. It's all good. That's and the Niners are coming off a bye. They actually played well defensively against Arizona prior to the bye. So we'll see what they have.
Yeah, both options are kind of yucky for me. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I think if you need a warm body in the position, but like I would obviously check. I would have checked yesterday, but guys like Christian Kirk, I would start over both of those guys. And he was pretty widely available. So there might be some guys on your waiver wire, like the late waiver wire on Wednesday or guys that got dropped. I don't know. I saw Damian Williams dropped like all over the place, and he's a guy that could come off the COVID list this week. So, you know, you don't know what people are thinking in their heads. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and you know, Hilton's not even sure that he's going to play this week. I mean, he's got the quad injury that he got late in the game.
I know. He's like, that's such a bummer too, because he just came back from that neck thing. Like, yeah, I mean, everyone's banged up. We're just hoping that someone with a pulse we can plug in doesn't have the Q tag when the game starts.
Exactly.
So I think it just comes down to that. Luckily, you'll know about OBJ like tonight. So
yeah, and you won't know about Hilton until late too, because they're the late game on Sunday. Yeah. In fact, aren't they Sunday night? Or yeah, I think they are actually, which is also we're so lucky. We get Indy, San Francisco, and the Saints and the Seahawks for our primetime games. Yay, Geno Smith! Yay! All right, yay, so that should be fun. A lot of good standalone games, not so much. But that's okay. So yeah, that's the other thing. You'll have to wait till Sunday night to make that decision on Hilton. I wouldn't make that drop. Is the takeaway from that? Anything else from Cleveland, Denver before we move on?
I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, I like the running backs and probably Fant, even if he's like a little bit banged up, I think he'll probably play and he always gives you decent upside. Like, and then Courtland Sutton's obviously going to be the star on the pass catching side, assuming Teddy Bridgewater plays. And then if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't play, I don't know. Like, do I trust anyone? I probably still trust Fant. Because I think Fant's like one of those guys that can be kind of QB proof. So that's it for Denver. And then, like I said, on the Browns, there's like no one. There's right. Maybe like if Jarvis Landry plays, like he might be a guy that could be interesting just because he is like a short yardage type guy that could still rack up a lot of points in PPR formats. And we could see some, like, I think D'Ernest Johnson is going to take over the Chubb role and Demetric Felton will take over some of that pass catching role that Hunt has. He hasn't even recorded a rushing attempt this year. So I don't even know what we call him a running back at this point, but I mean, take your pick between the two. If you spent on D'Ernest Johnson, this is the time to play him. Like, otherwise, why did you blow 30% of your fab or whatever he went for? What did he go for in some of your leagues?
Too much. Yeah. Even being desperate in one league, it's a 1 week rental is the way I look at it. Maybe Chubb is out more than another week, but I don't see this as, I think I'll have other options next week. So I don't really want to spend more than like 10% on just this week. I mean, maybe if you're 2-4 and you just got to get a win, then maybe I think about it, but I just don't think that's the way to go.
Yeah. I did put a bid in him for him for Scott Fish, and I did not even look after waivers for him. So
I need to do the same, actually.
But it was, it's a team that's not doing great. I had the 101 and I took CMC, so that's where I am in life.
I had Cook in that league. I also had Cam Akers in that league. So I did draft the handcuffs for both. So I'm not dead yet, but I'm not happy either. Just trying to get by.
I mean, and plus it's a tournament of like thousands of people. So you really have to be so lucky. Like, you have to be one of those teams that just evaded every single possible injury or just made some really, really great lucky sort of moves because, you know, it's really, really hard to predict who is going to be even starters come week 7. A couple weeks ago, you know, did you see like the names of the top guys for tight end? I mean, it took like 10 names to get down to someone who was actually drafted. So a lot of times it does really feel like a crapshoot for like, especially these like large tournament style.
Absolutely. It's like a big DFS GPP basically. Yeah. Was this the year for zero running back? You know, it got mocked a lot in draft season. There's still its proponents out there. Seems like there's been a lot of chaos at the running back position. Is this a good year for it?
I mean, there's been a lot of chaos at the running back position, but there's been a lot of chaos in a lot of places. And I just feel like it just depends like what echo chamber in the fantasy community you happen to be in at that time. Because like the other day, I just saw someone mocking anyone that took an early tight end. Just because, you know, like it was like, oh, you could have gotten Dalton Schultz and you could have gotten Dawson Knox and you should have just waited. And like the same thing is someone else was mocking going early on quarterback and just like it. I mean, I think you can make any strategy work, but a lot of it does come down to injuries. And we know that there have been a lot of replacement running backs this season that have proven to be useful. But one flaw that I think about, like when people say like, oh, you should have gone zero RB, like all those guys, they're also available to you if you didn't go zero RB. Like it's not like, and it's not like as a zero RB person, you know which guys are going to pop. So you end up just like stacking all those guys. So I think it's one of those things like hindsight's 2020. If you pulled it off and have a good team right now and did zero RB, of course you're gonna like take the victory lap and say like, oh, that's so stupid. I can't believe you drafted Nick Chubb in the first round.
Right. I'm feeling like looked at with that comment there, but I have a lot of Chubb on my team, on my leagues. But I'm really hating it today, but you know, you made a couple of good points too. Scott Pianowski always likes to say, any strategy works if you pick the right players. But you also have to make sure you're starting them at the right time. You have to make sure you talk about waiting on like tight ends with Dalton Schultz or Dawson Knox. Well, okay, great if you had them in your lineup and you had them over, say, you know, or if you got them instead of Irv Smith that you waited on or something like that. You know, it, not guaranteed to work. The other thing is, and you made this point on Twitter, is the discourse in fantasy football Twitter is crazy right now. There is so much dunking and not and so little persuading.
It is. It's so true. And I think that there some people did misconstrue my tweet a little bit, that they were just like, oh, you don't want anyone to disagree with you. And I'm like, that's absolutely not what I said. Right. I absolutely think we should be talking these things out. But when you start the conversation like, can't, like, you took a running back in the first round, couldn't be me. Of course, you're not going to start a useful conversation about it, because that's just an attack on people, and you're just doing it in hindsight at this point. Like, you know, someone was saying something like, you know, it was so dumb of people to wait and draft Ryan Tannehill, but it, you know, anyone that waited that late for a quarterback was dumb, was like their sentiment. And I was like, well, you know, Jalen Hurts went in that same round, and Jalen Hurts is like a top five guy right now. So like, yeah, of course you can say like you had a process and like that was a dumb decision. But in the end, like these were guys that were consensus ranked near the same, like in the same thing. And just like one guy worked and one guy didn't. So, you know, I would probably like, I just like hate all the confirmation bias and the dunking, because that's just not constructive. Like, you're not learning anything from that.
Yeah, I think on the hierarchy of bad tweets, that's at the top, and then there's victory laps. Yeah. I like to take defeat laps. I'm better at that.
But, oh, I know. Same. Like, I feel like I'm always dunking on myself. People must think I'm like the worst analyst, because all I talk about is the L's that I take. But I mean, like, in reality, we take a lot of L's, and the worst type of tweet are the people that are like dunking on injuries. Like saying something like, oh, I told you not to take DJ Chark in game as he's being like stretchered off the field. Like, come on, guys. Like, that's the lowest.
Right. Yeah. Especially because your tweet had nothing to do with his injury, and you're dunking on him, and his career's at stake here. My God, it's horrible. So and we could go off on Twitter. It's not just football Twitter. It's life Twitter. It's life discourse, but we won't do that.
For fantasy has just gotten like, I don't know, I'm new-ish to the whole space, but even in the past 2 years, I've felt like Twitter for fantasy has gotten so toxic, and it's really like a vocal minority type thing, as it is with a lot of places. But like, I've made so many cool connections and so many great friends, and that's why I stay. And of course, it's like kind of part of our jobs, right? But like, at the same time, there are just some people that want to drag you down for every single take. Like, I had someone come after me and say, like, I'm not trusting anything you say because of like that Alex Collins take before Thursday Night Football. And I was like, first of all, I didn't even say start Alex Collins. I said I was in the unfortunate situation that I had to start Alex Collins.
Right.
And also, plenty of people started Alex Collins in that Thursday night game. Like, that was just, it made sense. And yeah, it didn't work out, but like, I was far from the only person. So there's always going to be a detractor and someone trying to drag you down.
Of course. And that you're a woman, you get dragged down a lot more than others. I mean, that's not fair, but it's what happens, unfortunately, too.
Absolutely. There's a lot of just dudes that are so unoriginal. Like, don't come at me with the stay in the kitchen. Like, I don't even cook. Like, they're not good comments anyway. Like, come at me with something original. I don't know. It is really just boring to me. Like, when people just try to use the same comments over and over to hurt you. And I mean, you definitely have to have tough skin in this industry if you want to be anyone in the industry. But obviously, as a minority woman, there's just a little bit less trust, I think, from other people.
100%. I gotta imagine I can't even imagine what it's like, because I'm not in those shoes. So I just have to listen. Here we go. Before we move on, I want to talk another quick note from our friends at Yahoo. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event. which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play Daily Fantasy Football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. I'm here with Samantha Previti. You can catch her on the Ashken Network. You can catch her on iHeartRadio every Thursday night on KOA Colorado. We've got to talk a lot about the other running backs this week. It's miserable this week. You know, there's between bye weeks and there's so many injury situations. There's Washington. There's New England. There's Seattle. There's who else am I forgetting here? Baltimore, Miami. I mean, trying to find two guys this week, let alone three, is so difficult at this position.
I totally agree. Like I said, I have some of these leagues where I'm like some deep leagues that I'm considering starting Ramondre Stevenson. So
yeah,
that's how desperate it is for some situations. Yeah, it's been a terrible year for injuries, and we are in the like biocalypse or whatever you want to call it right now. Yep. So yeah, you got to make some ugly, gross decisions this week.
Yeah, it is. So let's try to sift through a couple of them real quick. A lot of this is going to be wait till the injury reports come out. I get it. So we'll find out a little bit more. But for instance, New England and Damian Harris, you know, was that injury late a big deal, or are we going to be happy starting Stevenson? We might be very happy starting him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's on a short leash because of the ball security issues from earlier and just the fact that he's a rookie. And I just think like Bill Belichick could pull him because he wore the wrong color socks that day. So like, I mean, Damien Harris is the guy right now until further notice type thing. But it's really tough trusting anyone. Like with Harris too, it's really frustrating because he's just so like he lacks all the dynamic sort of traits that we want to see in a running back when he's on the field. Like they're not they can't run the same number of plays as they can with a guy like James White who just fit their scheme so well. So I think he's definitely limiting. That said, like it's the Jets and it's a positive matchup, so I could see an argument being made to start either guy.
Yeah, I could too. Miami's a mess, and it's not injury related. It's just, Michael here has to deal with that a little bit. Miles Gaskin or I think it's Dearness Johnson he's going for, not Ty Johnson. That would be really gross.
Or David Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. He got buried last week too.
Yeah.
What a mess. Yeah. So, you know, I if you have Gaskin anywhere, you had him on your bench when he had the two touchdowns against the Bucks, and then you started him last week and he had like three touches. So, you know, good times. What do you do with that situation?
Me right now on my Scott Fish team, because that is absolutely what happened to me.
Yeah.
I benched him thinking there's no way he can do well against Tampa. Like their run defense is too good. Then he gets 10 catches and two touchdowns because they use him as a slot receiver. And then so I'm like, all right, like they're getting like feisty, good matchup against the Jags. Let's deploy him. And then, yeah, he stinks. And like Malcolm Brown isn't much better. Like it's they just don't have anything going on in the run. So it's very disappointing. I think it's a good game though. So I can understand like it's yucky and he's not a guy that you really want to trust, but like name 30 guys that you would start above him right now in the buyoff. Like it would be difficult. So I totally get if you want to start him. Dearness Johnson, that's just like a completely volume play. So if you really do have sort of faith, I think he'll probably end up with like 6 to 10 fantasy points and maybe he's off the end zone, but he's not like a huge upside guy to me.
My dart throw has Johnson about 6 spots ahead of Gaskin in a PPR league, but it is a dart throw because Gaskin could get 10 targets, 7 targets. You know, I thought it was interesting that game. Miami is at home. Atlanta is not a good team, but they're a road favorite in this one. I was like, what am I missing? Yeah, I said that on air on SiriusXM today. Oh, guess what I'm missing? They're going to trade their quarterback, and it's going to be Teddy. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett. And like, oh, that's maybe what I was missing. You know, who knows? It could be that again, and that's a big mess.
Yeah, I don't even know though that Tua is a huge upgrade. So, I don't know that he has the same effect as taking out a different quarterback for their backup, because Jacoby Brissett's actually a pretty serviceable backup. It's just, I mean, Miami's kind of a disaster right now. So every game, like I always think that I can figure this out, or I'm like, this is the Jalen Waddle game and this is like the Miles Gaskin game, and it's never correct. So I don't know what's going on there with Brian Flores. We are just not synced up.
No, I'm not either. I keep missing on that one as well. I think I just start Waddle. I start Gesicki and I move on. And yeah, even when Watson comes, though, that could be the huge game changer if and when he plays. But that might not be until 2023 for all we know, too. So or
obviously
ever.
That would be a huge game changer. And just from a purely football perspective, would be awesome to see Waddle and Watson in that connection. And he has chemistry with Fuller, if Fuller ever comes back from his finger injury. So that could be certainly interesting. Fuller is a huge big play guy, stretch the field type guy that hasn't really matched up skill set wise with like either Tua or Jacoby Brissett. So that could certainly be interesting. But I don't know. I don't know what the prediction is in terms of like when we think he's going to play.
One of my big whiffs this year was Antonio Gibson. I thought he'd be a lot better than he is. I mean, you didn't even have to buy into the we're going to treat him like CMC hype and still think he'd be pretty good. You still could think he'd be like a late first, early second. Even my dog agrees with me there. But what do you do with him now? Okay, he's yours. You bought him, you broke him. You still have to use him. But I've got him like 24, 23 this week. I got McKissick over him. You know, he's got the calf injury in addition to the shin. How are you handling this?
Yeah, it's certainly disappointing because 2 weeks ago, he was on the injury report and had that shin injury. He said, like, it was a stress fracture, but it didn't bother him. Like, just a flesh wound, right?
Right.
So I was convinced. I mean, he had 20 touches in that game. So, like, I was convinced, like, the next game he would be fine. It was just, like, a precautionary thing that he wasn't practicing and a precautionary thing that he was kind of questionable going into the game. And then he is really banged up. So I think you have every right to rank him below McKissick at this point. McKissick is definitely a guy that I think a lot you should have targeted, managers should have targeted on their waiver wire because he was under 50% roster going into this waiver cycle. And then Jarrett Patterson is a dart throwy type guy, but we've also seen like this offense kind of just stall out. Like I feel like we saw some good games, not really good games, but like serviceable games from Taylor Heinicke. And then we've like this game should have been a good game for him.
Right. We're all like, defense. Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm on the radio talking about the Chiefs. The Washington stack as like a budget stack in DFS thinking like, oh, like this is matchup. It's going to be awesome. And yeah, I didn't go so super well. So that's obviously inhibited the run game as well. And
yeah,
Terry McLaurin, he's another guy that like borderline wide receiver one coming into the draft and just hasn't delivered. So
yeah. And now he's got a hamstring issue of his own. That's going to be another annoyance this week. Just throw another log on the fire. It's great.
I hope he's healthy because Jair Alexander is still on IR, so that could be a good matchup because Green Bay is pretty exploitable against the pass. So we'll see how the injury reports kind of look Thursday and Friday. Friday is like the new Thursday. Thursday used to be the big injury report day, but now I kind of feel like it's Friday.
I agree. I definitely agree. And we've had so many late things happen. Sometimes we get news breaking on Saturday that changes things. Yeah. Almost never used to get that, but it's been big this year.
Yeah.
We're going to move on from week 7, but first, quick note from our friends at Thrive. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week this NFL season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus only on the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you claim your free RotoWire subscription. 1. Visit rotowire.com/thrive. 2. Deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. 3. Play in your first paid contest and receive a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. It's just that simple. Thanks to Thrive.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Also, thanks to our friends at the Blue Wire Network, the podcast network, for hosting us on their channel. My guest is Samantha Previti. You can catch her on the Action Network. Samantha, before that, though, you used to write for the New York Post. Was that your first into the fantasy football content community?
Sort of. I joined the Post. Well, I was at the Times first when I first moved to New York, and then I worked at the Post. And both of those jobs were in data and on the business side. So I have a math degree, and I just worked on kind of like the revenue analytics side. So all the boring stuff, the bean counting, as people would say. So definitely not on the editorial side, not writing anything. And when I got to the Post, I had done a little bit of work on like this blog called Fifth Down Fantasy, where I was just making picks against the spread every week for this like pool. So I would write about them. And that was like my first ever writing thing, but really like my major first writing established gig, as I would say, would be for the Post. And it was completely unpaid. I was getting paid for my actual job, but I had to do this job on top of it. And I was doing like up to five articles a day. Wow. Like kind of all over the place. They weren't just fantasy. I had recurring fantasy ones in season, but then I was still writing the rest of the year. I was writing things about Zion, and I was writing things about like LeBron's diet and courtside Karen and just weird kind of culture type things. You know how the Post is. It's tabloidy, so right. Stuff of that genre for sure. And I ended up writing almost 700 articles for the Post, and just randomly, like in January of this year, someone who actually no longer works at Action reached out to me over Twitter, and they were like, hey, we'd love to talk to you about doing this full-time thing. And I never even thought about doing it full-time. I just thought that that was like a only thing for like Matthew Berry and the select elite. And I didn't even really take it super seriously, because I was like, there's no way that I could do this full-time. And they hired me. So I've been really, really enjoying it, doing content across different platforms, doing, you know, video and audio and a lot of writing, really mostly writing, but then also doing a lot of social media. So it's a really fun job. And I know it's so cliche to say that you have your dream job, but like, I kind of do have my dream job.
It's amazing, isn't it? You turn a hobby into a business. It's amazing. And like, you know, I think it's really cool you're doing. You talk about different platforms. I noticed last year, I think Brad Evans tweeted you, one of your TikTok videos out. And so My girls are on TikTok all the time. I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old. So, you know, it's like a platform I could see, like, it's kind of untapped in the fantasy community right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. I've unfortunately slowed down a little bit on posting, just because this has really taken over a lot of my time to do this as a full-time job. But it's certainly a really, really cool platform. I just I downloaded it because one night I was drinking on a Taco Tuesday and asked my friend, hey, like, do you think it would be cool to make like football videos on TikTok? And she was like, yeah, totally. She does not follow football. So, right. So she was like, also, what's TikTok? That's for Gen Z and we're old. And I just downloaded it and started making silly videos and people seemed to like find that amusing. I went from like, I had 500 followers last August and now I have like almost 14,000. So that was really like the platform that helped me take off really on Twitter. I mean, that sounds kind of weird, but cross posting is also really useful. And the TikTok stuff also is just really easy to cross post. You can use it on Instagram and everything like that too. So I love the platform and I think it's really fun and it's definitely less toxic than Twitter.
Sure. And the other thing too is, I mean, I think we all have a lot of good long form content, but when you're trying to bring new people in, short form really works pretty well.
Absolutely. And there are people that are going to be detractors and say to you, like, you know, this has no substance. And I'm like, well, I wrote the article with the substance, but this is just, you know, to get people interested and get my brand and name and represent action and stuff out there. So I think there's room for so many different things. And one of the things that I would say is that I hate when people who are in the industry or tangentially in the industry will say it's oversaturated. That word just bothers me so much because really it's oversaturated if you're only thinking of what exists right now. But like, I completely made this role for myself. Like, there wasn't a job description and they weren't even looking for anyone. So you're just going to know that like, it's really more about standing out and have your own voice and being genuine, because also people can read through if you're like not genuine. I am really for sure my Twitter personality. So I think that really helps too, just being like yourself, because then it doesn't feel like work, right?
Yeah, it stands out. It shows that you enjoy what you're doing. I can tell that. I think it's just, it's a fun way to do that. And, you know, not all content has to be, let me do this deep dive. You know, sometimes let's do something fun and you can like sneak in some content along the way there too.
Absolutely. And there's appetite for all sorts of different content. Like you said, there are people that are diehard that have got like 50, you know, DFS rosters in every contest and whatever. And like, that's good for them. That's awesome. But your average fantasy player, that's not how they're digesting content. And that's not the stuff that they need to know. They kind of just like want to know the high level stuff. And I mean, it's not like I can't do more like deeper stuff, but you have to just remember that like the community that we experience in like the Twitter world is so, so far removed from what actually like people are playing in their home leagues on ESPN. So gotta remember that when we're thinking about content creation, because I did see like someone dunking on like, I think like, I don't know, it was some national reporter like making some kind of comment and it was pretty surface level. And they were like, ooh, can't believe like he gets paid. It was like Peter King. And they were like, can't believe he gets paid to say like, you know, just obvious things. And I'm like, well, you know what? That's not always obvious to everyone. Like, that's just not following this like you are 24/7 and has your own models and spreadsheets and everything. So keep that in mind for sure.
Let alone someone that's been reading him for 20 years. You know, it's like, of course he's going to generate that following. They're going to turn to him because they trust him. Of course.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a silly take. And it's, I think, just rooted in jealousy in a lot of ways.
For sure. Absolutely. What's your format to play, favorite format to play in?
I really like salary cap leagues.
Okay.
And me too. That's for sure my favorite draft format, just because you can end up with really, really interesting teams. And it just, I think you can really get an edge on people, because honestly, in a lot of these snake drafts, especially if you're doing them with like industry people who do pay attention, who are not going to take like Tom Brady in the second round and mess everything up, it just feels like the first six rounds go exactly as planned. And there's no like getting the edge on people. Like, yeah, there is, but it's not the same. Whereas there's so much more strategy that goes into the salary cap, which I think is really, really exciting. And then the league that I do that is salary cap, it's 16 teams. games is this one with the deep benches and everything. And it's also IDP, which throws another kind of wrench into things.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the most fun league, most frustrating league. Also, the draft takes like 4.5 hours.
So yeah, for sure. With 16 teams, no doubt.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have a lot of stamina. It's always frustrating, too, because like at the end when you're kind of like you only have like $1 per player bids, but like you lose the guy, like you start the auction at $1 and then like someone else bids too, and then you gotta wait a whole other time to like,
yeah,
you can't outbid anyone out there, so you're just like, let me be done with this draft,
right? And it's the burden of nomination. You just want to like not nominate your players, whether you just you have to choose one of them that you either are going to get stuck with or that they're going to bid over yours. You can't have someone too good, but you don't want to have someone you don't want either. It's really frustrating.
Oh, 100%.
So money. Yeah, your math background's got to really help you with that too, though. Just kind of being able to map that out, coming up with a strategy.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I have, like I said, I worked in like revenue analytics and stuff, so I have really good spreadsheet skills. Not that cool, actually. But yeah, so I'll make like my own stuff on the side, and kind of that'll help me inform decisions as I'm going through the draft, which is super fun. But also in the end, like it's a lot of like you can't predict stuff. You can't predict that
right. There's
just people that. There's just such a wide variance. Like Amari Cooper might go for like $12 and like DK Metcalf goes for $55 or something like that. And it's that variance is crazy. There's like not actually that much of a dollar difference from their skills. But yeah, so it's pretty cool watching the draft kind of play out. And there's keepers in that league too, which makes it kind of funky. So you can end up with like, I don't know, Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey on the same team,
which would be useful most weeks of the year, at least. But is that a home league or is that like an Action Network league, or what league? Where is that league from?
This is the league that I've been playing in the longest, and it's actually just like, this is so nerdy. There's like a Facebook group of people that we like talk about it, politics a lot, and and they also play in a fantasy league, and I've been playing it since my first year in fantasy, and like. As a first league, that's a terrible first league. Don't ever
people do that. So intimidating.
When I first started playing, I didn't know football at all. So I couldn't have told you what a linebacker was at the time. But I was just kind of playing around. It was weird. I actually went 12-1 in my first league. First year in that league, which was
you had to put everybody on tilt with that.
So then. Beginner's luck. Like I had no idea what I was doing. Absolutely no idea. I definitely lost in the first round of the playoffs though. But that's what got me hooked. I think it was like so much fun, so many variables, but also like not the type of thing like fantasy baseball overwhelms me just because there's just so much commitment to it. Whereas like this is just something that I can kind of like knock out you follow it, but you can also check your rosters like every few days. It's not like baseball,
right? There's a routine, there's a rhythm to it. You don't always there's not a game every night, you know. You don't always have to be on guard. I do a lot of baseball too. That was my original fantasy sport. That and I did a hoops league when I was in law school. That was like 2 years after I started baseball. But it is super involved. But you know, football is becoming that though, that you know, all the blow up of dynasty leagues, Devy leagues, you know, college fantasy football is blown up. I mean, you can really overwhelm yourself if you want to, but you started off really deep. That's pretty wild. It's cool though too.
Yeah, it was cool because then like I started playing in other leagues and I was like, wait, this is so much easier to process because I was also just trying to learn football at the same time. And getting into football the way I did, which I didn't have any kind of like background, like I don't have a team really. I root for the Panthers because I became a fan when I was in South Carolina.
Okay.
And but like becoming a fan just through fantasy is kind of a weird entry point because you don't have allegiance to anyone, you don't really know the rules, but it really catered to my brain because it was like one giant spreadsheet, and I was able to like process and process data and distill insights very quickly. So that stuff really took fast, and then the other stuff didn't. And I was just kind of like memorizing things, and I would just regurgitate things to my then boyfriend who's very into fantasy. And I was like, oh, I'm not concerned about Jordan Matthews because I don't think someone will shadow him in the slot this week. And he's like, you literally have no idea what you just said. And I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I heard it on a podcast. So just like silly stuff like that. So yeah, it's an interesting journey to the way that I have taken to get into this, but also remember there is no like right way to do get into football, right?
Of course.
I mean, I do hate people like Gatekeep that are like, oh, like you can't do this because you haven't been a lifetime fan. I grew up, I was like a Packers fan since I was a baby, and I was being brought to Lambeau, and like those stories are awesome and that's good for you. But everyone's path into this is really valid, and I think it's a really cool industry. I mean, it's not like you can't just like become a lawyer, you can't just become a doctor, but you can like kind of just jump into this industry. So it is really, really cool. Right. Brings a lot of people from different backgrounds.
Indeed. Hey, I love hearing how people got in. That's one of the reasons why I have like different guests every week on the podcast, just so I can learn stories like this. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Good luck. I know you got a podcast you got to get ready for here, mm-hmm. get ready for that showdown slate. So I'll let you do that. But Samantha, please tell everybody once again where they can find you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. You can find me on Twitter, where I am most active, at SamanthaNFL, and then on Instagram and TikTok at Sprevidi, that's Sprevite, making silly videos and posting things about mountains. And then all my written work will be on actionnetwork.com. And then I'm on the Fantasy Flex podcast for Action Network 2 times a week. And as you mentioned, KOA Colorado every Thursday at 9. So.
Yep.
Talk about random Broncos things. We make fun of Ben Albright for disliking pumpkin spice lattes and stuff. So
it gets
off the rails.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Start right there on that. And if you want to look back at our past episodes, just had a good one with Andy Behrens from Yahoo. So some good stuff there. Again, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining me today. And everybody, please check out all of her work. Tomorrow, we've got Mario and John McKechnie hosting, as always. Thanks for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by WynnBET. Take care.